Shir's Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem. We will begin on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, two lines from the wide lines, Man Tana L'Hadot Tana Rabbanim. As we learned in the previous Shir, we learned the Machlekes between Rabbanim and Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul says that when one does the mitzvah of Yibam, he has to specifically have in mind to do the mitzvah. And he used very strong language that if someone doesn't have the proper intention, the child born from such a Yavam and Yavamim may be a Mamzer. Rabbanan disagreed. Rabbanan held that as long as one does the mitzvah, no matter what his intention and no matter what his motives were, he's Mekayim the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Man Tana Lahad Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana of the following Braisa? The Braisa says, Yavam Yavaleh. The Pasuk says, Yavam Yavaleh. Mitzvah. Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Explains itself to Braisa. Shevetchila ha'isula b'chlal heter. First, this woman who was married to his brother was mutter to him, as long as she was not married to anyone. Nesra, then once she marries his brother, she becomes also to him. Esa'e shesach. V'chazir v'hutra, then when the brother dies without any children, she becomes again mutter to him because of the mitzvah of Yibam. Yochel tachsla teira rishin. I would think that she reverts to the original status. Tamalayma yivama yavaleh. So the Brice that says, that the Pasuk says, yivama yavaleh, mitzvah. What does this mean? Man Tana. Who is the Tana of this Brice? Amar av Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Abishol hi. It's going according to Abishol. Vachakama. And the way to understand the Brice is as follows. Yivama yavaleh, mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Shevetchila hois b'chal heta. At the beginning, this woman, until she was unmarried, she was completely mutter to him. Rotza l'shem noy, he can marry her because she's beautiful. Rotza l'shem ishus, he can marry her because he wants to marry her. Kontza, once his brother marries her, Nesra, she becomes also to him. Esa ishusach. Chaz v'hutra, when his brother passes away without children, she becomes mutter to him. Yochel tachs l'tayrishin, so I would think she reverts to her original status, tamloima yivama yavalel mitzvah. She doesn't come back to the original status. She only is mutter to him if, when he has relationship with her, he intends to mekayim the mitzvah. Consistent with Abba Shaul's position, that Abba Shaul says that when a yavam has relationships with a yavama, he has to have in mind that he wants to mekayim a mitzvah. Rava says that this braisa could be consistent even with the shita of the rabbanim. This is the way to understand the braisa. Yivama yavaleh mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to have yivam shebetchila again. Hois b'chal heter. This woman, until she was married, was completely permitted to this man, to the yavam. Rotsa kansoi, rotsa ain't a kansoi. He can marry her. He doesn't have to marry her. It's a free world. Nesra, when she marries his brother, she becomes prohibited to him. Chazir v'hutra, then when his brother dies without children, Yochel tachs l'teira rishin, I would think she reverts back to her original status. Rotsa kansoi, if he wants, he can marry her. Rotsa ena kansoi, if he wants, he doesn't have to marry her. Stops the Gemara. Rotsa ena kansoi, is there an option that he should not do Yibam? Hagidabei, she's tied to him because she's his Yavama. B'chdi teipik, could that bond just be broken without any act? El Eimo, Rotsa Kansa, Rotsa Chalutzloi. I would think that doing for the Yavam to do Yibam or for the Yavam to do Chalitza is equal. It's all the same. Tamalayma Yavama Yavala Mitzvah. The Lechatchila, as the Rabbanan taught us, Lechatchila, it's preferable to do Yibam versus doing Chalitza. That's how this braisa is to be understood. So the braisa can be interpreted both according to Abba Shaul, and the braisa is teaching us that when one does the mitzvah of Yibam, he has to have a mind to do the mitzvah. Lahakim Shem Lahachiv. That's Abba Shaul's understanding. The other understanding is that the braisa is teaching us that Yibam is preferable to be done versus Chalitza. Continues, this is really, says the Gemara, the second part of this braisa. But let's learn the first part of the braisa. Emeresha. The first part of this braisa, which the Gemara discusses second, speaks about a karban mincha. The halacha is that when a karban mincha is brought, the entire mincha is prepared, a kaimitz, a fistful, is put on the mizbeach and burnt, and the rest of the mincha is eaten by the kohanim. And the pasuk says, "V'neseres min ha-mincha yoichlu." The leftover, besides for the kohanim, the kohanim eat. But there's another pasuk, "Matzus toach b'makom kadosh." So it's a superfluous pasuk. We already have a pasuk of "V'neseres min ha-mincha yoichlu," that the kohanim eat the shiraim of the korban mincha. What do I learn from this pasuk? Mitzvah. Again, the same type of limud mitzvah. What does that mean? Explains the Gemara. Shevetchila hoisa labachal heter. The ingredients used for the korban mincha were mutter. They were flour, they were oil, the regular ingredients. Nesra, when the person was magdish to korban mincha, it becomes kodesh. No one's allowed to eat it. The chazer v'hotra, after the kaimitz is separated, it becomes mutter. Yochel tachsel ha-terorishin, I would think it reverts back to its original status. Tamad loyma matzos toichel v'makom kodesh, mitzvah. This is the words of the Braisa. So now we have to understand the words of the Braisa, but we have another challenge to us. Our challenge is that the understanding of this pasuk and this drush in the Braisa should be consistent with the way the Braisa understands the word lemitzvah, the way the Gemara understands the word lemitzvah in the Yavam context. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'rova, dama ha-mani rabbonin hi, according to Rava that interpreted the Braisa by Yavam, and says, the Brice was teaching us that, again, to review, that we have an option to do chalitz or to do yibam. And the Brice is teaching us, preferably do yibam. Here too, hocha hocha kama. This is the way to understand the Brice. Matzos ta'ich of a makam kadosh, mitzvah. And again, the Gemara repeats itself. Shibtchila hoysla b'chla heter. At the beginning, the ingredients used for the korban mincha were permissible ingredients. Rotza achla, rotza ein achla. The regular food ingredients that a person may eat, nesra, when they were made kadosh into a korban mincha, they're prohibited to be eaten, the kadosh, chazir v'hutra, after the kaimitz is removed, they become mutter, yochel tachsa l'terei rishon, so I would think that it goes back to its original status. So the Gemara stops. What does it mean, rotza? Ask the Gemara, do you want to say rotza meaning? Similar like we said by Yibam, rotza ochloi, rotza en ochloi, that the person has the option that he could eat, that the kohen has an option to eat the shirayim, the rest of the korban mincha, or he has the option that he doesn't have to eat it. As the Gemara, how could you say that? For Ksiv the pasuk says, v'ochlo oisam ashekupa behem melamed shekahanim oichlim v'balam miskaprim. Eating the korban is essential to affecting the korban. So when the Gemara says rotza och, when the Braisa says rotza ochla, rotza ena ochloi, it can't mean that there's an option, should this kohen eat it or not. He must eat it, because his eating is essential to affecting a kapara. And as Taisa says, from here the Gemara is telling us that the kapara is based on the kohen eating from the korban mincha. And in fact, few interesting points that I saw, even though we know the Gemara says many places ein yeshiv ba'azara ela malcha beis tovid bovat, that nobody's allowed to sit in the azara besides malcha beis tovid, that's just to sit. But since eating the korban is part of the kapara, the halacha is that a kohen is allowed to sit in the azara to affect the kapara. Moreover, I saw that the Rishonim say we know in certain kabbonis kachikachim, only the kohanim get portions to eat. In certain kabbonis, even the owners of the korban get a portion to eat. Say the Rishonim, it's not sure that the Rambam agrees with this, but many other Rishonim say that in a korban that the owners get a portion, the kapara is not affected until the owners eat from the korban. And I saw other mefarshim discuss that's not specifically only the kohanim. Even if their families, their wives eat, that's all part of the kapara. The Migdash David has a very interesting shaila. He says, the Gemara here is teaching us that the eating of the kohanim is essential to affecting the kapara. So he asks that we know that the Gemara says many times that the kapara is affected through the zrikas adam. Here we're learning there's a whole new element. There's an element of eating. So how does that be understood? She says, even though Poshup Shan in the Gemara is that eating is part of affecting the kapara, he says an interesting pshat. He says pshat works as follows. Zrika is what affects the kapara, but the kapara is not there until the Kohanim eat. Only after the Kohanim eat from the carbon, then retroactively does the Zrika affect the Kapara. In fact, I saw a very interesting Shari Tshuva based on this Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch says, actually in most Sidurim it's not this way, but the Shulchan Aruch says when one says Kabbonis in the morning, he should first say the carbon oila and then speak about the carbon chattis. Actually, most Sidurim it's the carbon chattis before the carbon oila. Ask the Magen Avraham, we know that the Gemara says that if somebody has to bring a carbon chattis and a carbon oila, he first brings a carbon chattis and then he brings a carbon oila. So why by saying Kabbonis do we reverse the order? Says the Shari Tshuva, beautiful teretz. He says, a carbon oila, we know that nobody eats a portion of the carbon oila. So now that we know that kol oisik b'tayrus oila kila hikrav oila, by saying kabbonis, it's like we brought the carbon. So when we say the parashas oila, the Torah tells us it's as good as bringing the carbon. But when we say the parashas of chatos, so maybe as far as the hakrov is concerned, now that we can't be makrovit, we could be makayim the mitzvah with saying the parashas chatos, but saying it doesn't include eating. Eating is eating. Talking doesn't make you full. And here the Gemara is, and therefore carbon chattis, the zman hazeh, that we don't have the base of Migdash, and we don't actually bring the carbon, we can never actually do it 100% right. That's why we prefer to say the carbon oila, which we could bring closer to doing as best as we can, versus the carbon chattis, where we miss the eating, which as we just learned is so essential. So it can't be eating is optional. Ella says the Gemara a different suggestion, how to explain the Braisa. Ratzah hu oichloi, maybe he, the kohen who brought it, could eat it. Ratzah kohen acha oichloi, or maybe a different kohen could eat it. Tamaloimer, matzah toichel makom kadosh, mitzvah. There's a mitzvah for the kohen who brought the carbon to actually be the one to eat from that carbon. I, Tosfos, asks, the Maharam Masechta Kedushin says that as long as anyone from the Mishmar or the Beis Av eats, it's adequate. So Tosfos says two pshatim. One pshat is, Tosfos says, that that's what the Gemara means. It doesn't actually mean the kohen that actually was mak of the carbon. As long as somebody from that Mishmar Beis Av, that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, l'chatchila, somebody from that Mishmar Beis Av should eat from the carbon. Or another pshat that Tosfos says, the Gemara Masechta Kedushin is to be understood like this. First the kohen who brought that carbon has to eat a kazayis of it. That's what the Gemara, that's what this price is teaching us, is the chatchila de gedin. Then the rest of the carbon, other people could eat. But the first kazayis, the main kazayis, should be eaten by the kohen who brought the carbon. So that works with the same way as Rabbanan explained. Just like we have an option to do yibum or chalitza, and Rabbanan said preferably do yibum, here too, we have an option, should this kohen eat it, the one that brought the carbon? Should another kohen eat it? And the Braisa is teaching us, preferably the kohen that brought the carbon should be the one to eat the carbon. However, ask the Gemara, El Rav Yitzchak bar Dimi. Rav Yitzchak bar Dimi that explained that the Braisa is by Yibum is going according to Abba Sholhu, and the Braisa is telling us that you could buy Yibum. The Braisa was saying that if you do it right, you're Mekayim the Mitzvah. And if you're not doing it right, it's not being Mekayim the Mitzvah. Hochamai Trei Gavne Ika. What two options are there? Says Tosfos, I'll give you two options. One option is that you had a mind to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and one option is that you did not have a mind to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. And the Brice is telling us that you only Mekayim the Mitzvah of eating Kachim if you had a mind to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Says Tosfos, that's not true. In the way the Beis Halevi explains Tosfos, by Kachim, the halacha is that the carbon should be eaten. So even if the person had absolutely no intention to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, as long as he ate the carbon, the kachim that was supposed to be eaten were eaten, were mekayim the mitzvah. So what's the two options? And actually, the Shema Shmuel, based on this Tosfos, says a very nice word. He says on Shabbos we're supposed to eat. Kol ma'anik, it's a Shabbos. You have to have an anik Shabbos. Says the Shema Shmuel that even if a person eats on Shabbos and he actually has absolutely no kavana, he's eating because the food is good, it's delicious. He's Mekayim a Mitzvah. It's just like by Kachim. As soon as you eat the food, without any intention, Tosfos tells us you're Mekayim the Mitzvah, the same thing by Shabbos. So what are the two options that the Braisa says you have to have the right Kavona? V'chitema, perhaps you'll say the two options are, Rotz l'tayav v'nachloi, that you eat it with an appetite, Rotz achil gasol achloi. And the other option is that you eat it when you're full and you really don't need to eat. Ask the Gemara, Achila Gasa Mishma Achila, eating when you're completely full is considered eating. Vamresh Lakish, Ha'oichla Achila Gasa B'Yom Kippurim, and Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat. Let's say somebody eats on Yom Kippur when he's completely full, Potter, M'lai Su'una. So it can't be that the Brice is teaching us that you have two options, eat it with appetite, or eat it when you're full. And the Brice is teaching us, eat it when you're with appetite. Eating when you're full is not eating. Ask Tosfos, beautiful Tosfos in this Gemara. Ask Tosfos, a famous Gemara in Masechta Nazir. The Gemara says in Masechta Nazir, quotes a pasuk in Hosea. The pasuk says, "Ki yisharim darkei Hashem, tzadikim yelchubam, uposhim yikoshlubam." Says the Gemara, "Moshel shnei bnei Adam." There were two people that shetzolu pescheim that have to eat the Karan Pesach. One, echa ochle l'shem peschei. One ate it to be mekayim the mitzvah. He's a tzaddik. And the person that ate l'shem achil gasa, he's a rasha. But from the Gemara it seems that he's not doing the mitzvah properly, but it's considered an achila. Here the Gemara is saying that achil gasa is not an achila at all, so how is he mekayim the mitzvah? Says Tosfos, there are different levels of achil gasa. Sometimes a person is so full that he can't eat anything. That's the achil gasa our Gemara is referring to, that's not an achila at all. There the Gemara is referring to a situation that he's full. He doesn't really enjoy what he's eating, but he can eat. That's not called an achila gasa, that he's not mekayim the mitzvah. So now we learn a very big chiddush. There are different stages of achila gasa. And our Gemara is referring to a status of achila gasa that he's so full he can't eat, that he's not mekayim the mitzvah at all. And the Mishnah Melech says that it's not only regarding eating, it's also regarding drinking. If somebody can't drink, he's so full, they can't drink, it's called shtia gasa, it's not considered a shtia. I saw actually from the Shailos HaTshuvos, V'yavreich David, a very interesting psak based on this Gemara. He says, there are people, like myself, who really don't enjoy drinking any whiskey, any alcoholic beverages. But sometimes you have to drink, you have to say l'chaim. So that's like an achila gasa. You don't want to drink, it doesn't do anything for you. So our Gemara is saying that achila gasa is not called an achila, and he suggested you're not allowed to make a bracha. Because if it's not considered a chilo, it's not considered a shtia, you're not mekayim a mitzvah. It's not a chumrah. It's a bracha levatala if you make a bracha. And he says that a person like that should maybe eat something else first that he has to make a shahakal on, and then drink, not to make a bracha on something that is totally revolting. What's the wording achil gasa? Before I should say, a gasa is like a goisis. Just like a goisis, a person who's very ill, can't do anything. His eating is not considered an eating at all. There's a machloikis, Mishnah Lamelech, and Shagas Aryeh, why achila gasa is not an achila. Mishnah Lamelech says achila gasa is not an achila because it's shloike derech, it's not considered a normal way of eating. Shagas Aryeh says that eating something, an achila gasa is like eating stone, it's like eating wood. It's not a food. What would be the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, there's certain food, there's certain surim, you're not allowed to even eat shloike derech. Bas b'cholof is also shloike derech. So if achila gasa is considered like shloike derech, you're not allowed to eat basa b'cholof shloike achila gasa either. But if it's considered like something which is not a food item, so then perhaps you're allowed to eat basa b'cholof according to Shagas Aryeh, again, certainly not l'chatchila, an achila gasa. So that can't be what the Braisa says. Ella, rotza matza achloi. Again, the Gemara attempts to say, maybe what the Braisa means to say, you have an option. You could eat the Karam Minchas matzah, rotza chametz achloi. And the Braisa is saying that you have an option, and l'mitzvah, l'chatchila, you have to eat it matzah. Ask the Gemara, how could the Braisa suggest that there's an option? V'ksiv, the Pasuk says, l'soy for chametz chalkam. You're not allowed to eat the Karam Mincha as chametz. V'amre shlokish, v'afilu chalkam, any part of the Karam Mincha, Loi tafa chametz may not be chametz, so that can't be what the ma'isa means. Says the Gemara, el rotza matza achloi, rotza cholot achloi. What they used to do is they used to scald the dough in boiling water. Machlokes v'shoinim if the water was yat soledes, or if the water was actually malab abubis, that it was boiling to 12, and then they would bake it. And what the Braisa is saying is, perhaps you would think that you could eat it either a matza form, only baked, or you could eat it cholet, first scalded and then baked. Tells us the Braisa that you have to eat matzah. Ask the Gemara, let's analyze what we just said. Hi cholet hechidami. What is the status of cholet? Imatzahi. If we're going to say that something that's first scalded and then baked is considered matzah, hamatzahi. So what's wrong with doing cholet? Off in the other hand, v'loy matzahi. If it's not considered matzah, so what's the havamina that it should be acceptable? Matzahs amrachmana. The Torah requires matzah. And like Rishonim point out, the Gemara is pointing out that it has to be actual matzah, not just that it's not chametz. Says the Gemara, loy, lo'olam emloch matzahi. I will tell you that cholot is considered matzah. However, olhochet tanah be'kra l'akif. Here the pasuk says two psukim regarding the korban mincha. One is v'aseres ben mincha yechelu. And the other pasuk of matzah is talking makom kadosh to tell us that even though normally cholot is considered matzah, for korban mincha it's unacceptable. La'olam emaloch matzahi. I'll tell you that cholot is usually considered like matzah. Here the Torah repeated the requirement la'akiv that cholot is not acceptable. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, el cholot matzahi the kamrin el ma'ichasa. The Gemara is making a statement that cholot is considered matzah. The question is regarding what halacha is it considered matzah. Says the Gemara, loyma comes to teach us she'adam yotze by chavos ve'pesach. That if a person prepared matzah for Pesach by doing chalita, afagav dechalte mikara, even though he first scalded it, kiven dehada af yibetaner, if afterwards he bakes it in an oven, lechem oini karinabei, it's considered lechem oini, vadim yotze by yidei chavos for Pesach, and you become the mitzvah. So first of all the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch says this, we already from the time of the Rishonim do not know exactly what cholot is, and therefore we shouldn't attempt to do chalita nowadays. And we should not boil the dough. We have to just bake the dough. Tosfos quotes to Rabbeinu Tam that brings down also many other conditions when chalita is mutter asur. He says it has to be a small dough. It can't be a dough that's fried in oil because that would be matzah ashira. There are different conditions. But as I said, the Shulchan Aruch says we don't do chalita because we really don't really know how to do chalita. So even for Pesach, we should not do chalita. Says the Mishnah, Hacholot Slivimtai, if somebody does chalitza to his yivama, hareyu ka'echem and ha'achem and nachla. Since he didn't do yibum, he's like one of the other brothers in dividing the Yerusha of the brother who died. Says the Mishnah further, Vim yesham nechosim, yesham av, nechosim shalav. If one brother died, and when he died there was still a father alive, that father gets the portion. Because a father inherits a son before his brothers inherit him. Another halacha. Hakainis Sivimtai. This brother did yibum, not just chalitza, says the Mishnah, Zocha ben Chashm Shal Achiv. The Tanakhama says that the brother who does yibum gets the portion of the brother who died. And as the Rishonim explained, the Tanakhama is really telling us two dinim. One din the Tanakhama is saying is that the brother who does yibum takes the entire portion, the entire inheritance of his brother who died. It's one din. Another din that the Braisa is teaching us is that after the father will die, so he, the brother who did Yibam, will take his brother's portion in his father's inheritance. Rabbi Huda disagrees on two levels. Benkach and Benkach, Im Yesham Av Nechosim Shalav. So he says two things. First of all, if the father's still alive, the brother who does Yibam does not get the share of the brother who died. One din. And another din is if when the father dies, this brother who did Yibum is like all the other brothers, getting a share of his father's inheritance, nothing extra. Says the Gemara, Pshita, if a brother did Chalitza, why should he get his brother's inheritance? Answers the Gemara, Salkadat Chamina Chalitza B'makam Yibum Kaima, that Chalitza is a substitution for Yibum. And just like if he did Yibum, he gets his brother's inheritance. So too, if he chose to do chalitza, he should get his brother's inheritance. V'nichshkol kulei nechsei, he should take his brother's portion. Kamash malan, that's not true. Ask the Gemara, ihachai rei ka'echem minachim. Ask the Gemara, what's what the Gemara says? He's like one of the brothers. What the Gemara should have said, the proper lotion of the brightest of the Mishnah should have been, eina ela ka'echem minachim b'ayli. He's equal to all the other brothers. Not hareyu ka'echad, that he's special. Says the Gemara, al-salka datach amina. We might have thought, Since this brother chose to do chalitza over yibam, likna say that he shouldn't get any shear in his brother's inheritance. Kamashmon, that he's equal to all the other brothers, doesn't get more, but on the other hand, he doesn't get less. Im yesh shamav, but the Braisa said if one brother did chalitza, then and is a father, the father inherits the son. Davamar, as the Gemara says in Masechta Basra, of kadmu kol yetzirechai, a father goes before brothers inheriting if one of his children, if one of his sons passes away. Hakonis is yivimtoi. So the Tanakhama said that the brother who does yibum takes the entire yerusha of the brother who died. My tama yokum ashem ochav amrachmana. The Torah says that he should take over his brother's place. Vreikom, he took over his brother's place. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says that he doesn't take, if his father's still alive, he doesn't get his brother's yerusha. Amu'ula, halach Rabbi Yehuda. The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. The kenam Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha, halach Rabbi Yehuda. The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Vamu'ula vitam Rabbi Yitzchak nafcha. My tam Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? The ksiv, v'haya b'char shetelet. K'b'char. This is the introductory remarks to the parish of Yibam, to teach us that the Yavam is like a b'char. Ma b'char, when is Bechor activated? When his father dies, that he gets a double portion. Af hainami eloi b'chayav. A yavam, if his father is still alive, does not inherit his brother who died's portion. Ask the Gemara. Ima b'chor noitel p'nei shnayim lachem isas av. So just like Bechor, after his father dies, gets a double portion, I should suggest, ask the Gemara. Af hai, the brother who did yibam, perhaps noitel p'shnayim, and if the father dies, since he did yibum, he should get his portion and his brother's portion. Says the Gemara, "Mida yokum Hashem oviksiv." He doesn't take an extra portion in his father's inheritance. Yokum Hashem oviksiv. His brother's place he takes. Lo Hashem oviv, but nothing extra in the father's inheritance. Ask the Gemara, "Ema heicha deleka av deleshkel nachla tiskay mitzvus yibum?" If when the brother dies, the father is no longer alive, that's when the mitzvah yibam applies. However, heicha de'av, if the father is still alive, the loishokel nachla, that the brother who does yibam, as we just finished learning according to Yehuda, does not get his portion. Perhaps similarly, like the sky mitzvah yibam, maybe there's no din of yibam at all under those circumstances. Says the Gemara, why? Mi de yibam anachla tala rachmana, do yibam and yerusha travel together? The brother has an obligation to do yibum. If the brother Yerusha is available because his father is no longer alive, he should take it. But if that Yerusha is not available because the father is still alive, he has no right to take that Yerusha. Says the Gemara, Yosra Chanina Kara Kamed Rav Yanei. Chanina Kara was sitting in front of Yanei. The Yosra Kama Halach Rabbi Yehuda. The halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Tanakam and like the Rabbanim. Amalei, put kari kairu chalabra. Go teach what you just said outside. It's incorrect. Ain't halach like Rabbi Yehuda. The halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The halach is like the Rabbanim, that the Yavam does get the shear of the brother who he's doing Yibam for. Tana Tanakam made Rav Nachman. So the Tana learned in front of Rav Nachman. Ain't halach like Rabbi Yehuda. That the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei, Elokaman, like who? Like the Tanakam, like the Rabbanim. Ask the Gemara, this is the way the Ritva explains the Gemara. Pshita, Yochav and Rabbim, Halach Karabim. Why does the Braisa have to tell us that the Halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda? Of course it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the Yochid, the Rabbanim are the Rabbim, and we always follow the Rabbim. So as the Ritva explains, the Gemara's question is not that the Braisa should not have quoted the opinion of the Rabbanim and the opinion of Yehuda. That's fine. The question is, why did the Braisa have to tell us Ein Halach Rabbi Yehuda? It's obvious that Ein Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Asmei, should I eliminate this Braisa? Because it's not authoritative Braisa. It's incorrect wording. Amalei Loi, don't eliminate the Braisa. Because what happened here is as follows, he explains. At Halacha Asneich, the original version of the Braisa had that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Umokshi, and as soon as you heard that, Mikshu Da'akshalach, you had a question. How could the halacha be like Rabbi Yehuda? Do Rabbanan who are Rabbin disagree with him? V'apchis, so you reversed and said that ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Olmai da'apchis, that you did that, that you reversed and instead of having a version that says Halach Rabbi Yehuda, you rather had a version that says En Halach Rabbi Yehuda, Shap Apchas, he did the right thing, because Halach indeed is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Rishonim explained the Braisa used the word En Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't the Braisa use the words Halach Rabbanon? Why are we in a negative? We should be in a positive. The Braisa should have said Halach Rabbanon, because what happened here is we're turning around. First, the Braisa said Halach Rabbi Yehuda. He reversed it. But when we reverse it, we don't just say, instead of saying Halach Rabbi Yehuda, we say Halach Rabbanon. It's much more of a potent reversal, where instead of saying Halach Rabbi Yehuda, we say Ein Halach Rabbi Yehuda, to make the point. Says the Mishnah, Hacholos Leivimtoi, if one does chalitza to a woman, who also becreves sour, he's not allowed to marry any of her relatives, just like you're not allowed to marry the relatives of a woman who you divorced. V'hi asur b'kreivav, and she's not allowed to marry any of his relatives. Hu asur, and the Braisa, the Mishnah, lists all sorts of different relatives. Hu asur b'ima, or b'eim ima, or b'eim avia, her mother, her grandmother, b'bita, her daughter, b'aspita, b'aspina, her different granddaughters, b'chaisa, or her sister. However, the sister, as we know from the first Mishnah we learned in Masechta, is unique, that she's only Osir Bezman Shikayemes, because Achois Ishtoi is only Osir as long as his wife is alive, even if he divorced her, or now we learn if he was Chaylitzar. Va'achim, his brothers, who did not do Chalitza, Mutarim. And like the Meiri explains, there, as long as the brother did not do Chalitza, so there's still a Zika, so they're Osir. But once that Zika ends, by this brother doing Chalitza, so the brother that did Chalitza is not allowed to marry any of the relatives that we just listed, and the other brothers who didn't do Chalitza are mutter to her relatives. Furthermore, teaches us the Mishnah, V'hi Asura, just like he's not allowed to marry her relatives, she's not allowed to marry his relatives. V'hi Asura, B'aviv, his father, B'avi Aviv, his grandfather, or B'noi, his son, B'benoi, his grandson, B'achiv, his brother, or Ben Achiv, and his nephew. Teaches us the Mishnah. We actually learned this Gemara before on Daf Chav Zayin. Teaches us the Mishnah. Mutar Adam, a person is allowed to marry B'kroivas Tsaras Chalutzasai. That, let's say, a brother died. Simple case. Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven died and he left over two wives, not related, Rachel and Chana. So the halacha is that if Shimon does chalitza to Rachel, so we just learned that you're not allowed to he's not allowed to marry her or any of her relatives, but that doesn't affect Chana. So Chana he's not allowed to marry because she's an Eshesach. She's a former sister-in-law. But Chana's relatives are permitted to him. However, for Asa B'tzaras Krivus Chalutzasai, so the way Rashi explains Tsaras Krivus Chalutzasai means as follows. If he did Chalitza to Rachel, and Rachel has a sister Leah, who's married to a stranger, no relationship to his family, he's not allowed to have a relationship not with Leah, nor with Leah's co-wife, even though it's a total stranger. Ritva takes issue with Rashi's pshat, because Ritva says that that's too much of a chumrah. And Ritva says what the Gemara here means is that let's say Reuven and Shimon were married to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. And Levi did chalitza to Leah, so he's usher to Leah, it says chalutza. He's also usher to Rachel, who's a chais chalutzasai, and he's usher to Rachel's tzara, because they're two brothers. But a total stranger is too far to be machma. Ask the Gemara, Ibailuhu, Gazru shnias bechalutza aloi. As we just finished learning, a chalutza is usher. You're not allowed to have relations with a chalutza's relatives. Ask the Gemara, does that din not only apply to erva? We discussed this a lot early in the Masechta, Daf Chaf Aleph. There's ervas and there are shnias. When we say that one may not have relation with his chalutza, does it mean, and her relatives, does it mean the ones that are relatives that are ervas medaraisa, or does it even include shnias medrabonim? Ibayil, gazur shnias bechalutza aloi. Did Chazal make a gzera on the shnius or not? What are the two sides of the question? The erva deraisa, where we're dealing with something which is a deraisa. So gosber abadim, that you're not allowed to have relations with your chalutza's relatives. Shnius Bever the rice goes rabbanon. Shnius bechalutza loy goes rabbanon shnius. By shnius, which are only the rabbanon, the chazal, did not make the gzeira, oidim aloy shna makes no difference. Tashma, so Gemara attempts to bring a raya from what we just learned in the Mishnah. Who asr? A person is not allowed to have relationship, not only now with his chalutza, the ima, with her mother, we just learned in the Mishnah, or be'em ima, with her grandmother, which is also an Issa Daraisa. Vila, aim ima, her grandmother, like Tani. Why not? Because aim ima is a shniya, and that's why it's deleted from, omitted from the Mishnah, because a shniya is not osir, krivus chalutzosa. Says the Gemara, Dilma hainu tam de loitani. Perhaps he's also in the shnius of his chalutza. Aye, why doesn't the Mishnah mention it? Hainu tam de loitani, v'shim de kabayla misna seifa. The end of the Mishnah we just learned taught us. V'achem mutarim. That only the chalutz, only the one that performed chalitza, is also in the relatives. The brothers are permitted. V'tani aim ima. If the beginning of the Mishnah would have told us that the Cholitz is not allowed to have relations with the Shnia, Havamina, I would learn Pshat in the Mishnah as follows. Ha'achim mutarim, when we said that the brothers are permissible to have relationship with the woman who received Chalitza, I would say, Dafka be'aim ima. Who are they allowed to have relationships with? Somebody who's a Shnia to the Chalitza. So there are two things factored in here. Number one, she's a Shnia. And number two, they're not the brothers that made chalitza. Avol, be'em ima, or be'ima, even though they're not the ones that did chalitza, but since they're erva daraisa, they should also be us and her relatives, loy. That's why perhaps the Mishnah omitted it. Says the Gemara, I could still include it and have a good wording for the Mishnah. For listening, let the Mishnah say, aim ima, say that the chalitz is not allowed to have a relationship with the shnius of the chalutza. The listeni, I, we're worried that we're going to make a mistake in what the brothers may or may not do. Say it clearly. Ha'achim mutar mekulan. So the fact, so that's not a kasha, that's not a proof, says the Gemara kasha. So what's pshat in the Gemara, says the Rishash? Even though from the way we're learning the Gemara now, it seems to indicate that shnius are mutar, it's not true. The halach is that shnius are osur. And like the Rishash says, we've said it here many times, there's a difference in terminology when the Gemara uses the word kasha versus the Gemara using the word tiyufta. Kasha means it's a kasha, but it's not totally refuted. Tiyufta means it's refuted. Here the Gemara uses the word kasha because actually at the end of the shugya we're going to learn that the shnius of the chalutza are actually asur. Tashma. So the next proof. He has surah. The chalutza is not allowed to have relations Be'aviv or be'avi aviv. K'tani mia avi aviv. That she's not allowed to have a relationship with the grandfather of the Cholitz. A grandfather is a sheni. K'tani mia avi aviv. Lav mishum Cholitz. To have a lay kalis benoi, which is only a shnia. So this is not because of the Cholitz. Mishum misna. To have a lay kalis benoi. If the problem with this gentleman were that he's the grandfather of the Cholutz, and a grandfather of a Cholutz is only a sheni, that would not be Osir. Why is he mentioned in the Mishnah? Because she was first married to this man's brother. There it was a real marriage. This sheni certainly applies. So when the Mishnah said that she's not allowed to have a relationship with his grandfather, it's not because of the Cholutz. The Cholutz is only a sheni. Sheni is not a problem. The problem is because her original husband, there, who she was really married to, there is, of course, a situation of a sheni. Toshma, or ben benoi. The next example was that she's not allowed to have relations, she's not allowed to marry his grandson. Mailav, v'shem chaylitz. That because he's the grandson of the chaylitz, the havele eshes avi aviv, which is a sheni. So says the Gemara again, loy mishum eshes, loy mishum misna. The reason why she can't marry this man is not because of the cholitz. It's because of the person who died, her original husband, the havele eshes achi aviv, and that's why it's prohibited. Ask the Gemara, hameima machshir be'eshes achi avi aviv. Hameima says that there is no isser sheni. We learned the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph by eshes achi avi aviv. So that can't be the isser. Answer the Gemara, hameima mukalei. A Maimu will explain that the Brice is not, that the mission is not referring to Esh Sachiyavi Aviv, but it's referring to a situation, Babar Bura the Saba. As diagram 169 shows us, that the situation was that Yitzchak has a son, Yaakov. Yaakov has three sons, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Levi was married to Tzila, and Levi died without children. Shimon then goes and does Chalitza to Tzila. Tzila is not allowed to marry Yaakov, who's her original, who's Shimon's father, because he's also Levi's father. She's now allowed to marry Yitzchak, because she was her husband Levi's grandfather. And she's also not allowed to marry Reuven's son, because of her, his relationship, not to Shimon, but rather to Levi. So this has nothing to do with the fact that she's a, that with Shimon. It all has to do with Levi, who was her full-fledged husband. Ask the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's what you're explaining the Mishnah means, Ihochi haina ochiv ben ochiv, that's already included in the cases of ochiv ben ochiv. Why does the Mishnah have to repeat it? Answers the Gemara, Tani ochiv min av, v'tani ochiv min ein. The Braisa mentions two cases, and we could see it in diagram 170, which one refers to where Asher and God and Reuven, Asher being the brother who was married to Tzila that died, is a maternal brother with Reuven, and that's what the Braisa is coming to include, is Asher. You can look in the diagram to understand it. Tashma, the Tani of Chia. Rav Chia taught us, Abba Medivrei Torah, V'Abba Medivrei Seifrim. There are four people that the can't have relations with the Raisa, with the Chalutz and the Chalutza, and four with the Rabbanon. Av Ubenoi, Ochiv Uben Ochiv, Medivrei Torah. Avi Aviv, Vavi Imoi, Ben Benoi Ben Bitoi, Medivrei Seifrim. Ask the Gemara, K'tani, Avi Aviv. So again, here it says that she's not allowed to marry his grandfather. My love, Mishum Chalutz. Why is she not allowed to marry the grandfather? Because he's related to the Chalutz as a Sheni of Aval Kalas Benoi. So we see that the Sheni of the Chalutz is Osir. It says, Mar Allah Mishum Dam Misna. Nothing to do with the Chalutz. It has to do with her original husband, Davalei Kalas Benoi. Tashma, says the Gemara, a different proof. Avi Imoi. My love, Mishum Chalutz. Again, Mishum Chalutz Davalei Kalas Pitoi. Again, and says the Gemara, Mishum Misna. Not because she's related to the Cholitz, it's related to the original husband, Davale Kalas Pitoi. Tashma Uben Benoi. My laugh. What's the reason that she can't marry his grandson? Mishum Cholitz. Because of the Cholitz, Davale Eishas Avi Aviv. So we see that she's not allowed to marry the Shnius. Says, Maloi, Mishum Misna, Davale Eishas Achi Avi Aviv. Ask the Gemara, as we just asked a moment ago, for Meimer Machsha Beish Sachi Avi Aviv, a Meimer said that that's not considered a Sheni. Says the Gemara, correct. A Meimer Mukalim Shem Chaylitz, a Meimer will have no other way of interpreting this Braisa, and I'll say that this Braisa is clearly indication, V'ksava Gozru Shnius B'chalutza. The Chazal said that the relation, that the Sheni, the Shnius of the Chalutz and the Chalutza are also Aser. Tashma, of a ben bitoy, so Gemara attempts another proof that you now she's now allowed to marry the Chaylitz's grandson. My love, Mishum Chaylitz, and it's the Havilei Eishes Avi Aymai. So again, we have a proof that Shani is Osir. Says Gemara Loi Mishum Misna. The problem with this gentleman, with this ben bitoy, is because of her original husband, the Havilei Eishes Achivi Aymai, as Gemara. There is no Sheni of Eishes Achivi Imai. So what are we telling me that the Isser is because of our original husband? There is no such Isser even by a Sheni. Elalav, it must be because she's a Sheni to the Chalutz. V'shmamina, Gazru Shnius b'chalutza, that even by Chalutz they made Xerah Shmamina. Just to finish the Gemara. Mutar Adam, so we learned at the end of the Mishnah drew a difference between Krivas Saras Chulutzasai and Saras Krivas Chulutzasai. Amr Rav Tuvi Bakista Amr Shmuel. Haba Al Saras Chalutza. If somebody has relationship Again, simple situation. Reuven and Shimon, two brothers, and Reuven dies, and Shimon does chalitza with one of Reuven's wives. If Shimon then goes and has relationship with the other wife, so she's an eishesach, havlad mamzer. It's like it's had an isser eishesach, and the child is a mamzer. My tama, visurukaima. Once she is not the wife that chalitza was performed to, she's a regular eishesach. Omar Rabbi Yosef, afanan namitinuina. Mut, we have a proof from our Mishnah. Mut adam bekroivas tzaras chalutzasai. Somebody who's the tzara of his chalutza, he's allowed to have a relationship. Iam b'shlamet tzara avroi. If we're going to say that the tzara is completely awesome to him, it's a iser eishesach. Mishum hachi mut b'chaisa, because there's no relationship between her and the brother that performed chalitza. Eli Amr Tzara Chalutza, if we're going to say that Tzara has the same status as the Chalutza, Amai Mutter, why should he have, be allowed to marry her relatives? It must be that in the woman that he did Chalitza, this considered a relationship, as the Mishnah taught us, and the other wives, there is no relationship. Says the Gemara, Leim to have it to you, Rabbi Yochanan. If you'll recall, we learned in Daf Yud, Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. One brother does either Chalitza or Yibam. So Rabbi Yochanan says that he acts as a shlich for all the other brothers. One wife receives Yibum Achalitza. Rabbi Yochanan says that she acts as a shliach for all the other wives. Reish Lakish disagrees. He says the brother does Yibum, does it. He's not a messenger for any other brother. And the wife that receives Yibum Achalitza, she's on her own. Here, that the Gemara is distinguishing between the actual wife that received the Achalitza versus the other wives, it's a proof that she's not a shliach. Leim dav tiyufta Rabbi Yochanan bein hu bein achim ein chayovim loyal chalutzu karis not for the chalutzu the chiv karis, she's not considered an eishes ach anymore v'loy tzarasu karis. Amalach Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Yochanan v'tizbra. Let's say that I'm right, says Rabbi Yochanan, and I'm saying that the wife that even the wife that doesn't receive the chalitza is considered the same as a chalutza. And now your question was, if she's considered a chalutza, why are they allowed to have relations? Why are they allowed to marry her relatives? Says the Gemara, the iser to marry a relative of a chalutza is never deraisa. The tizbra, a chos chalutza deraisa, a relative of a chalutza is iser deraisa. V'omer eshlokish, kan shana Rebbe, Rebbe taught us, a chos grusha medivrei Torah, the relatives of the wife that you divorced, so that's why Chazal said that on the chalutza they made a gzeira, on the woman that did not receive the chalitza, even though she's not osa midaraisa anymore, she's no longer considered an eishes ach, you're still allowed to have relationship with her relatives. Ask the Maradavi's question. Maishnahai, why would the wife that you did chalitza, are you not allowed to have relationship now with our sister, and not, as the Mishnah said, tzoras kroivas chalutzosoi. You're not allowed to have relationship with her, her sister, and her sister's co-wife. And why would the wife that you did not do chalitza, are you allowed to have relationship with her tzora? Answers the Gemara as Rashi explains the following way. Hachta ozl lebeidina, gozba rabbonim. Hachta loy ozl behada lebeidina, legozba rabbonim. Explains the Gemara like this. There are two wives. A person died. Reuven died, he left over two wives, Rachel and Chana. Rachel goes to Beis Din to receive chalitza. She needs some moral support. Who does she take along? She takes along her sister Leah. Now people seeing Leah and Rachel going to Beis Din, they may get confused. Who's the woman that really got chalitza? Rachel or Leah? They don't know. So people may make the erroneous mistake and think the Leah got chalitza, and the halach is that if a woman gets chalitza, she and her co-wives become also to that chalitz. That's why Chazal said, Rachel got chalitza, is certainly asr. Leah, who's a sister, and went along with her, is asr, because of this confusion, and Atzar is asr. On the other hand, as we've learned so many times, and as the word implies, Rachel and Chana are Atzaris. Rachel's not going to take a co-wife who's a rival, along with her to Beis Din. So she isn't there, so there's no room for confusion. That's why even though she herself is Taka Asur, because she was married to his brother, and now Chalitza was performed to that family, but it doesn't affect any of her relatives, because there's no room for confusion that she was the one that received the chalitza.